All right, we're back. Lecture 11, a young men's leadership retreat. I wanted to have a retreat with the young men. So young, I'm talking, you know, anywhere from 19 to 30, let's say. So these are guys in the middle of life, right? Maybe they're just married, maybe they're dating, maybe they're, you know, single, or they're married and they have one, maybe two children. They're getting going with their career. They're trying to, you know, buy a house. They're doing all the things that a young family would do. And I wanted to meet with them, and I wanted to inspire them towards leadership. I wanted them to think that you guys are the future of this church. You hold the future of this church in your hands, your gifts, your abilities, what you do, what you don't do. And in many ways, that's a reality. But a lot of times, young men will be sitting on the sidelines. You know, the church existed before I got here. It'll keep going regardless of what I do. So that's their feeling. And they let all the older people take care of it. And then they don't like what the older people are deciding and how they're running things, but they don't step up and do anything themselves. Part of it is laziness. Part of it is, you know, someone else is going to do it, so I don't have to. And part of it is they don't have the confidence to step out and do something. So I thought, I'm going to have a retreat where I'm going to try to, the goal will be to give them confidence and assurance and the challenge that you people are called by God to make a difference in this church, in the kingdom of God, in your marriage, in your family, at the workplace, whatever it is that you do, all right? And you're in it together. And if you unite, there's nothing that can stop you, all right? So I really wanted to inspire them. All right. So the first thing that we did is we met like on a Friday night at somebody's cabin or something, and I just wanted to share leadership stories. So, you know, granted, it's a hard question, but once the ball gets going, people can figure it out. So I said, I want to just share leadership stories. Every one of you, I want you to give a story of you leading something and how that happened, how you fell into this thing. You know, in grade 9, I went to a new school, 20 kids in my class. And we had a football team, and I found myself to be the quarterback of the team. Our coach was an English teacher, didn't know a thing about football. So I sat down and I wrote out plays and I directed things, and you know, we won our first game with, you know, like 5 seconds to go with an incredible, unbelievable play. And you know, I really felt like, hey, maybe I can lead. Okay, but that incident that just happened. I didn't try to make it happen. It just happened. And I could name all kinds of stories like that where things were just thrown at me, and I happened to end up leading, and there was some success in it. And so I thought, well, maybe I can lead. You know, maybe that's a possibility. So that's the kind of story I started with to try to help them think of a time. It didn't have to be a big event. It could be anything. You know. With a bunch of friends, and then you did something first, and then other people followed you, whatever it might be. And so one by one, they went around and they shared, you know, something that they did. And I wanted them to go to bed thinking, hey, you know, I guess I did do something. Because if you just ask a random group of young men, are you a leader? You know, one by one, are you a leader? No. Are you a leader? No. No, 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 no. Everyone's going to say no. It sounds too arrogant to say yes, and really, they just feel like, no, I can't lead. I can't do that. You know, because everyone is afraid that no one's going to follow. And so there's a fear in leadership. You know, the old saying, if you want to lead, you got to put a kick me sign on your back. But that's what we did that first night. Then the next day, our opening session, I just talked a little bit about leading. The ingredients of leading. Number one, to be a follower. Okay, Moses had a hard time leading the people in the desert. They battled him, rebelled against him at every step of the way. And I firmly believe one of the reasons is Moses never modeled following anybody. Moses came out of nowhere. God called him and he shows up and he goes, I'm your leader. He never demonstrated following. Whereas Joshua spent 40 years following Moses, and when Joshua took over, the people understood what following was. Because Joshua modeled it for 40 years. So if you want to be a leader, the first thing you need to do is be a follower. So who are you following? Number two, hear, accept, and heed the call. Okay, that's what Moses had to do. You're a leader, Moses. I want you to do this. No, I'm not. I can't speak. I'm not a leader. Okay. So we all get called. We all have a nudge from the Holy Spirit to go do something, but we tend to do what Moses did, and we say, no, I'm not a leader. Number three, be a leader in your friendship circle. Who are you currently leading now? Okay, you know, I'm forcing these people to realize that they are leaders. They might be poor leaders. You're a leader if you're married. If you have children, you're a leader. If you have friends, you're a leader. Somebody's looking at you and learning from you or not learning from you. So who are you currently leading and how are you doing? Number four, look for a vision. So if you're thinking specifically of church, what is your vision for your life, for your marriage, for your family, your friends, your church? Do you have a vision for any of these things? And if you do, number five, sell your vision to a few people. Why is your vision important to you? Who in your life would you want to be on your team? Let's say you want to start something, a ministry in your church. What do you want to start? Where do you gravitate towards? Then make a plan. You know, I want to start a men's group. I want to start a group that likes to go hiking. I want to start a group that's going to visit 8 museums in the year. Okay, fine. Make a plan. How are you going to do this? Who are you going to have to do this? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What, who, where, why? Plan deciding in detail how to do something before actually starting to do it. To plan is to come up with an orderly or step-by-step conception or proposal for accomplishing the objective. All right. Number seven, leading your team and carrying out the plan. Invite others who buy into your vision. Assign tasks based on skill and interests. Manage the steps with those involved with each step. Motivate, encourage, resolve differences. Okay, this is a basic plan on how to start and motivate anything to happen. So I was doing this retreat. I wanted these young men to think that they are owners, that God may have put something on their heart to start something in the church, start something in their family, start something in their marriage, and make it happen. So it was like, you know, it was like a boot camp to leadership is what I was doing. Celebrate successes. See the lessons and the new opportunities and the failures that can lead to a better vision. Okay? All these are the ingredients of making anything happen. Now, I realize in this thing I was giving these guys way too much, but I was getting them out of their comfort zone. So the next section was gifts. What are you gifted at? Write it down. What are you interested in? Write it down. Okay, maybe you're interested in these things, but you don't know enough about them. Where would you like to learn something in the spiritual realm, in the realm of men, in the realm of church? What would you like to know? I don't know. I've never thought about this. You get them to think about it. What do you want to learn? What do you want to know? Where do you lack? I don't know. I don't know anything. Okay, well, let's start there. What do you know about the Bible? Not enough. Okay, start with the Bible. What do you know about doctrine? I don't know anything about doctrine. Church history. Okay. You get them moving off the dime. Okay, they're sitting here, and you want them leaning in to something. Then we did, the next section was your personality. I wanted them to understand who they are. What are your gifts? What are you interested in? What's your personality? Because this is going to affect your ministry. Are you a talker or a listener? Put an X, you know, where you are. Maybe you're both. You put an X in the middle. Maybe you lean more toward listening than talking. So you put an X wherever you think you are. Thinker, feeler. Facts. You know, you like the facts. Some of you act on facts. I need the facts, then I act. Or some of you are intuition. You don't need a lot of facts. You just feel that this is the right thing to do, and off you go. You're an introvert or an extrovert. You're a planner. You're an improviser. You like order. You like chaos. You're a person. Like, you may just make things happen. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just got to go. Other people are procrastinators. They're never going to do it. They're always planning. They're always thinking about it. They're always going to say they do it, but they don't do it. Decisive. Second guesser. Bold. Cautious. So you just have each person sort of evaluate who they are, and then you share in the group. See, because these things are going to affect what kind of leader you are. There's nothing wrong with being some of these things. Okay, this is just who you are as a personality. But you're going to lead differently depending on your personality. So again, I just wanted these young guys to think in the realm of leadership. Opportunities. Okay, now I'm going to force you guys to think about the opportunities that are in front of you that you're not even aware of. In every church, what areas are leaders needed? Well, we need a preacher, we need music, we need pastoral care, we need, I suppose, someone that gets people together, and they figure out, all of a sudden they're thinking about how church works. Right? This is how church works. And most young men aren't thinking about this at all. They have no idea how church works. But all of a sudden, you force them to sit down and think about it, and they figure it out. At your church, what areas need leaders? Oh, well, I haven't thought about that. I just let things go. People don't need me. Things just run. Oh, where do we need leaders? All of a sudden, I got to think about this. What are you most interested in helping out? I wasn't thinking about helping out. Now I am. See, in this retreat, we're really just poking you just like care. Start thinking about your contribution to the whole. Leadership involves communication. So I moved into this area. Okay, if you can't communicate, you can't lead. Communicate what you know. So most people fail in communication because they're trying to communicate something they don't know. If someone says, I want you to give a speech on something, and you get up and you start talking, you don't know what that is, you hem and you haw. That's why sermons are so hard. Get up and explain this. I don't know. But if you communicate what you know, if you explain what you do at work and how it works, you have no problem. It's step one, step two, step three, step four. If you tell a story, of your first day in kindergarten, you succeed a story because it has a beginning, middle, end. Be enthusiastic. Okay, most people when they start speaking are like, well, I want to share a little bit about this verse. Instead of being enthusiastic. Illustrate with stories. When you look at what Jesus did, most of what he said were stories. Because people listen to stories. People get stories. Truth is communicated in stories. Communicate with your whole body. Right? I want to share with you the love of God today. I want to share with you the love of God today. Your eyes. You lean in. You step back. You put your hands out. You put your hands this way. You take your body. You clench. You relax. Most of what we communicate has nothing to do with the words. It's how we do it. Practice. If you're going to give a speech, if you're going to lead with communication, practice, practice, practice. I learned this early on. First time I gave a little sermon, I practiced it. I knew it, in my bedroom, and then I went out and I forgot everything that I had practiced. And I was like, what happened? What happened was, is I practiced in my room, and my mind was 100% on what I was saying. And when I got to the pulpit, the church, all of a sudden I was thinking about the lights, the people, the noise, the distance, the Bible that's sitting in front of me, and all these things were an incredible distraction to me because I wasn't used to them. And so half my brain was on what I was talking about. So I need to practice. I need to know it more than I think that I have to know it. In fact, if I practice it in the place I'm going to be, Then all those things won't be a distraction. I'll be used to those things. Take people on a journey, a hunt, or solve a problem. You know, if you're explaining a concept, or you're explaining a verse, you know, we're going to look at John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one only son. Let's talk about God. You know, who is God? God so loved. You know, there's three different kinds of love. There's agape, there's eros, there's philios. And then you go on and explain each one of these words, and we have no idea why you're talking to us. Well, what's your point? Why are you looking at John 3:16? What journey are we on here? What hunt? What's the problem that you're solving? If you started out with, you know, we're going to look at John 3:16 because I have this question. Does God in fact love the whole world? Does he? Does he love Hitler? Does he love you when you are betraying someone by talking behind their back? Does God love you? Really? Well, what does that even mean? All right, so we're going to look at this verse and try to figure this out. Oh, okay. See, you present a problem, and then you're suggesting that there might be an answer if I pay attention and listen. Okay, I'm willing to do that because I'm interested in this problem. I'm interested in this treasure hunt. I'm interested in this journey. You're taking me on a thing that I am interested in, and I'm willing to do the hard work of whatever it is that we're going to do, the exegesis of this passage. All right, so how? How do you do all this? Reveal a problem or a destination or a treasure for which you seek. Explore possible answers, routes and options, you know? Well, maybe it's this. Well, no, that's a dead end. Well, maybe it's that. Well, that's a dead end. Find the answer to the problem with your audience. Arrive at your destination with your audience. Find the treasure with your audience. You're taking them on a journey. You're not telling them what you discovered. You know, I was in my study and I discovered this. Let me share it. No. Let's discover this together, shall we? Here's a problem. What do you do when you're depressed? How does this work? There's a story in the Bible about Elijah, and this is what happened to him. And you know, he's running away, and he falls asleep. You know, that's what we do too. We want to run away from the problem. We fall asleep, and then he's hungry, and then he runs and he tries to get away from the problem, but he can't get away from God, and God is there. And God shows up. And, you know, so, you know, we can see our problem in this. Well, I'm taking you on this journey, but, you know, we're trying to figure out what the answer is. And as I take you on this journey through this story of Elijah, finally we figure it out that God is ahead of us. God is already there. And when we think we're alone, we're not alone. There are many others that we don't even see. See? But you took me on a journey. You didn't start off with the answer. You started off with that I don't know the answer. You don't know the answer. And so let's find it. Let's go here. Let's take a journey. And people will follow. You take them with you. All right, so this is what I did. And I can't believe how this worked. It was unbelievable. I said, okay, what is your favorite verse, and what problem did it or does it solve, and what story in your life did it or does it deal with, and how might it relate to us? I guess I added that too. And then I gave them like 10 minutes to go away and figure this out. There were some guys that were like so nervous about this, and I can't figure this out. But then people came and shared. The first one, not very revealing, was okay. Next person shared their heart. The next person got up and said, you know, I got up this morning and I walked out on the dock, looked at the lake, and I thought about just jumping in and running away from everything, all the issues in my life. But I didn't. And here's why. And then he shared a verse that was important to him. I mean, people were in tears. He was in tears. And the next guy got up and they shared their heart. It was the most powerful, powerful retreat I've ever been in. Each one did like a 5-10 minute sermon that blew away any sermon that I've ever done. Each one was just unbelievable. Why? Because number one, I asked them to share a favorite verse. Something that they were familiar with. A favorite verse that helped them in a really tough time in their life. And people can, you know, when there's a tough time and there's an experience, there's a story. And people succeed when they tell stories. And when they tell the most important story of their life, it's going to be a good story. It's going to be spellbinding. Everyone in the crowd is going to be listening, hanging on every word. And you don't have to be a great speaker. You can hem, you can haw, you can be frustrated, you can have tears, you can start a sentence and then stop and then, you know, start a different sentence, and it doesn't matter because we're following with you. We're walking with us. You're taking us on this journey, and it is just powerful. And when they were done, it was like, these guys were so motivated. They felt like, we can do things. We, together, can make things happen. It was just unbelievable. So then I went over the areas where you need communication, the welcome, vision time, in our church service, announcements, prayer, sermon, worship, leader, testimony, other. And I said, what do you want to do? And all of a sudden, I had volunteers that wanted to do things. Why? Because I gave them an opportunity to discover that they had potential. So then I asked, well, what is God calling you to do? Start something. Help out in some area of the church. Get more education to better equip you for ministry. Work on leading yourself in your marriage, in your family, and your friendship circle. Anything else. And that's how we ended. And I'm telling you, these guys were like sitting in a room going, we are the leadership of the church. What is it that we should do? It was the most incredible, amazing retreat I've ever been in. And most of it was because I helped them share their story, their favorite verse, to a problem they had, and how God rescued and saved them. And then they had a message then for others. It was unbelievable. So anyway, I wanted to give you a couple samples of retreats. You could maybe start your men's group this way, or if you have a men's group, you could do something like this, or you could come up with your own questions. Again, it's all about being real. It's all about starting in a specific area of a man's life. You start at the surface and you gradually get to something deeper. And when you do, the Spirit of God works. And men bind together. They get that sense that they are a band of brothers and that God is calling them to greatness, to something beyond what anyone could do on their own. That's why they want to be a part of something like that. And you're creating this. You're not creating it. The Holy Spirit is creating it through the men themselves. You're just giving the spark. You're the spark. That's it. All you have to be is the spark. So be the spark. We'll see you for one more session.